Good morning. We are now in the fourth week of our series on the different roles in the church, what we have called APEST, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, that comes from Ephesians 4:11. It's on the bottom of your bulletin. And along the way, we've been asking ourselves, or hopefully been asking ourselves, the question, where do I fit? What has God gifted me with? And where is he calling me to serve in those gifts as an arm and an extension of the church? So this morning, we're going to be talking about the gift of shepherding, which really is all about taking care of God's flock or God's people, which fulfills Paul's words in Ephesians 4:12 that says that this gift is for building up the body of Christ. So, if we're going to answer the question, where do I fit, especially related to shepherding, we need to better understand what is a shepherd and what role do they play in the church. We're going to do this by answering four questions this morning. First, what is a shepherd? How would you define that? Secondly, what does a shepherd do? Then thirdly, why does the church need a shepherd? And then finally, we're going to look at ourselves and say, where are the shepherd ministries already happening here at Oak Grove? So first, what is a shepherd? I think the most important thing we can do in order to answer this question is to look at the example that we get from Jesus, who's called in John chapter 10, verse 11, the Good Shepherd. And he says this, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So what do we see in these words? Well, the shepherd, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, was concerned for the safety and the welfare of his followers, of us. And his concern was so great that he was willing to die in order to protect them. So a shepherd in the church is someone who is concerned with the lives of the people of the church, the flock. Neil Cole, who wrote a book on the APEST gifts, says that shepherds are those followers of Jesus who have an overwhelming concern for the continuing care of a specific community and are mature enough to equip others to carry the same concern. So, if a shepherd is somebody who has concern for the body of Christ, for the church, what exactly does he or she do? Well, to find out the specific roles of the shepherd, let's take a closer look at what God the shepherd does, as we find in those words of Psalm 23 that we all recited earlier. And let's see what it is that he does as shepherd and consider maybe that's what we are to do as well. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Oftentimes, I think we look to this psalm in times of need, in times of grief. We hear it read at funerals, and I think we think longingly about the way that God has shepherded those that we love that have passed on. But I think this, too, is a promise for what God is doing for us today. So let's consider, what is God doing as a shepherd? Well, first, like a good shepherd, God is aware of his people's needs. He knows when they need to rest. He knows when they need to eat and when they need water, when they need rejuvenation, when they need spiritual revival, when they need safety and peace with their enemies, when they need to grow in holiness. God is aware of his people's needs. And so shepherding in the church starts with being aware of what are the needs of people around us. But it doesn't just stop with this awareness. Just like a shepherd who watches over sheep would make sure they led the flock to good places where they can eat, where they can have water, where they can rest, where they would lead the flock out of danger and even protect the flock from wolves, the shepherd God, the shepherd, leads his sheep where he knows they need to go. And shepherds in the church, when we know what the needs are in the church, we lead people to places where those needs can be met. So in this psalm, here's a couple things that I see the shepherd leading his flock to. He leads towards provision. So a shepherd in the church might ask the question, who in our congregation is in need physically? Or how can our church learn to grow closer together by learning how to eat together and spend time together? Secondly, the shepherd leads towards rest. So a shepherd in church might ask the question, who in this congregation is overburdened by life? The better question is probably, who isn't overburdened by life? But maybe then the answers they look to is, how can I, or how can we as the church, lighten their load or offer encouragement or come alongside of them to bear some of that weight? The shepherd leads into righteousness. So the shepherd in the church might ask, how are we as a church growing into deeper relationships with Jesus Christ? Are there people in the church that need discipled? How can I be a discipler? Who are good disciplers? Or who in the younger generation might need mentored by an older generation into a long-lasting and life-saving relationship with Jesus? The shepherd leads through trials. So a shepherd in the church might ask, who in this church is really struggling? Maybe with sin, maybe with a health issue, maybe with a family or a job issue. And how can I, or how can we as a church, come alongside that person in the middle of that struggle? How can we help them see where God is at in the midst of those trials and navigate them by asking, what would God have me do in this situation? The shepherd leads towards restoration. So the shepherd in the church might ask the question, well, who hasn't been to church lately? Or who isn't coming to Sunday school anymore? Or who isn't giving anymore? Or what relationships seem to be damaged in our body? And if the reason is because the person has had maybe a falling away from faith or from the church body, how can they come back into a right relationship with God and the people of God? For this particular part of the shepherding role, I think of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Jesus says, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Whereas others in the church might be a little more impatient with the lost sheep or frustrated that they got themselves lost in the first place and they can't find their way back, or maybe don't notice that this sheep has been lost, or sees this time spent searching for these lost sheep as waste of effort and valuable resources. Shepherds see the lost sheep as children of God, made as in His image, beloved child, and say it's worthwhile to seek after this lost sheep. I think of the father in the story of the prodigal son, waiting at home for his child's return. That is the role of the shepherd when it comes to restoration. Finally, the shepherd leads towards peacemaking. The shepherd might look at, in the church, might look at conflicts going on, maybe between individual members, maybe about certain issues, and say, not just how do we resolve this as quickly and painlessly as possible, but say, how do we make peace? Not keep peace, but make peace. What are the underlying issues? How can we address those? What are some of the root causes that need to be uncovered? And even though it might be difficult and awkward, the shepherd chooses to lead through those conflicts rather than avoid them or deal with them passive-aggressively. Now, these are some of the roles of shepherd that we find from God in Psalm 23. And I would say that not every shepherd is going to fulfill or feel called to all of these roles or is meant to do all of them. But I think if you have a love for the community and the people in the community, this often leads people with the shepherding calling to ask and respond to a lot of these questions. Alan Hirsch, who also writes a lot about APEST, calls these responsibilities the task and the focus of the shepherd. And he sums it up like this. The role of the shepherd is cultivating a loving and spiritually mature network of relationships and community and making disciples. So we know what the shepherd is and we know what they do. So let's consider then, why is a shepherd an important part of the church body? I would say that the shepherd is one of the most crucial roles within the church for maintaining the order and the care of the people here. Hirsch writes, again, that the shepherd provides the organizational glue by caring for the individual inside of it. Some of these other roles we talked about, like apostle and evangelist especially, function a lot of times as what we call like the hands and feet of Christ. And so the hands and feet of Christ go out, but the shepherd, they might be the one that stays back and maintains the body. Because without a shepherd, then the body that the hands and feet are attached to might dissolve. And their mission then would serve no purpose. Peter writes about the importance of the shepherd in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, our other scripture for this morning. He uses the term elder. A lot of our versions of the Bible will use the term elder. But he writes using the imagery of a shepherd. And I think in a lot of what we see in Scripture, the term elder and shepherd are more or less interchangeable. This is what he says. Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend to the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples of the flock. In this passage, Peter lays out a couple qualifications for the shepherd in the church. He says that they are willing and eager to serve, and that they lead by example rather than by a power that comes with the position. One of the challenges that I think comes for us in identifying shepherds within the church is there seems to be this feeling that the tasks that we talked about are meant only for those professional clergy, the ones that are paid, or maybe even the elders, those that have been deemed by the church as somehow worthy of performing these things. And it's hard when we look at passages like Peter because, okay, so we can take the word elder and let's talk about some other possible words that could be used there. Bishop, presbyter, even pastor. I mean, all of those things are pretty intimidating. And shepherding personalities oftentimes are the ones that don't want to be up in the forefront. They want to step back and they want to be involved, but they don't want that kind of title. And unfortunately, when the role of clergy became professionalized and something that you can go to school for and get a full-time job in, although I appreciate my full-time job, we took away the importance of the priesthood of all believers that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2:5. And so the expectations, I think, not for everybody, for some were, well, the shepherds are the only ones who can really do the visiting or can look and assess where people are at their church and work with discipling, work through sin issues. But the reality is, and I think this is what we see in our scripture and what is needed in the church today, is that for the church body to grow spiritually, to flourish relationally, and for individuals to be cared for as Jesus Christ intended for them and demonstrated as being the good shepherd, shepherds in the church need to be identified and released and empowered to do the good work for the family. And there needs to be lots of them. And I think that we have lots of them. If we limit the gifts of the shepherd only to the pastors and to the elders and some select few, then we limit the health of the body. Neil Cole, again, he writes about the importance of the multiplicity of shepherds in the church, and he says, the very nature of a shepherd's ministry limits his or her scope of influence, which is true. We only know so many people, and we can only interact with so many people on a regular basis. He says, the role requires strong personal connections with people and true relationships. On average, a shepherd can adequately care for 70 to 100 people. An exceptional shepherd might serve 120 to 150, but that's about it. There's a reason why most churches in America have fewer than 150 people. Each one has a single shepherd at work. So what would happen for us if we were able to identify our shepherds, if we were able to empower them and release them to do their work and exercise their gifts in the Oak Grove community? How would we see ourselves grow? How could they help us grow individually and together as disciples seeking to follow Jesus? So finally, as we consider what it might look like to increase the number of shepherds in our church, let's look at what shepherding ministries are already going on. When I think of some of the shepherding ministries at Oak Grove, I think of the kitchen committee. And the kitchen committee are made up of people who do not want to be recognized, so I'm not going to have you stand. But they work faithfully and tirelessly to make sure that things are in their right place and taken care of, but especially, and what I'm always impressed by, is their work on funeral meals. Funerals are a time when the grieving people, they have so much to worry about, so many things on their mind, and this is the last thing that you want to do, is have to figure out how many people are coming and what should we make and where is it going to be and how to clean it up. And the kitchen committee takes the lead role of shepherds, and they become aware of the needs. And they say, during that time of grief, we want to help lead people, as the psalmist says, through the valley of the shadow of death. So that's one of our shepherding ministries. I also think about what's been done by the Family Life Committee, planning events for the church to get together and be family together. Things like the Sunday, the Super Bowl, the Camp Ketubic retreat, the harvest party. And although we are reworking this committee, these things are still very valuable for who we are as a church body. And we need people who are willing to intentionally plan times for us to get together and celebrate being God's people together. Of course, if you think about family life, then you think about the Nurture and Care Committee and Commission that Roxanne has been faithfully running for years now, and how she sends out e-cards for everybody's birthday and anniversary, which is an amazing thing to do. And by the way, happy birthday, Jeff Yoder, so everybody give him a hard time later. And we can't talk about the work of the Nurture and Care Committee without talking about Sean Neer, who in herself was a shepherd and who dedicated her life to building up the body of Christ. She guided the Family Life Committee into planning a lot of events that we do now that we don't even remember where they came from, but things like giving poinsettias to the senior members of our church at Christmas, or the graduation potluck for our high schoolers. That, to me, is an example of what a shepherding heart can do in the body. Other shepherding ministries are a worship planning committee, meals for families who have had children, discipleship groups, and even the fellowship and mutual care that we have during Sunday school. Oak Grove unquestionably has individuals who have dedicated themselves for years and years and years to shepherding the flock. And we have a lot of successful ministries, as well as meaningful one-on-one relationships to show for it. But we can always be growing and doing better at this and adapting, because as time moves on, our needs change, our people changes, the flock changes. So what are the needs of the flock today, and how might they be met? Who are the new shepherds among us, and who have not yet been released as shepherds? And ultimately, are we all turning to God as our shepherd and our example of what it means to take care of one another? Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful for who you are, that you are our shepherd, that you are the good shepherd, that you lead us to the places that we need to be led, that you take care of us. God, as we move forward as a church, as we consider our future together, Lord, I pray that you help us to identify those people with the gifts of shepherding, that we might be a strong family and a strong body, and that we can be strong together here so that we can go out in our community and be strong there. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the grace he gives us, and it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen. I invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.
stand.